Albayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Albayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear brother, Jamal Nassouh. Assalamu alaikum, Jamal.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, Abu Abdurrahman.
We're good?
Alhamdulillah, very good.
Once again, it's good to have you with us, and we have an action-packed program. But before we do, I'd like to welcome all our viewers and listeners on YouTube, watching live, ASWJ Australia Facebook live stream there, and also all those listening on our Wi-Fi radios, and also our apps. And we have an announcement regarding our Wi-Fi radios later on in the program, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, we have just entered a sacred month and blessed days, and they are the blessed days of Dhul Hijjah. Just after Maghrib there, we entered the first of Dhul Hijjah, and they are from the best times to do good actions, as the Prophet ﷺ, the best days time, or as the Prophet ﷺ told us, the best times to do good deeds, and we'll speak more about that, and as we have already spoken about in the previous episodes. So let's make the most of these days by doing a lot of dhikr of Allah and a lot of good deeds, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, our program for tonight is about scams, particularly online scams. As we know, Jamal is our tech expert, and he has a program with us here on Albayan Radio called Tech Talk, and this is another topic for that. So whoever would like to ask their questions to Brother Jamal, general questions regarding tech, or specifically, which would be better for tonight's program regarding these scams and how we can get scammed and how to avoid it, because we don't want to get scammed, do we? Now, Brother Jamal, my memory of this starts way back 20 years ago, we can say, or even more than that, when email started or became more accessible. And you'd get an email from some king,
Nigerian,
or some
prince,
widow, who said, my husband has just passed away, and he wants to basically, you know, to summarize the words, or, you know, I've inherited $20 million, yeah, and I want to send it to you, but you have to send a certain amount.
Yeah, you have to send the shipping fee
or whatever it may be. And yeah, how many people actually fell for that? We know cases, without mentioning names, where people actually sent the money.
My grandfather.
So we didn't want to mention.
I didn't mention his name.
You just threw him under the bus. You've only got two grandfathers, unless you've got some great grandfathers.
He got a call or an email or a letter or something saying that, you know, we're going to release some money to you. You won something and you just have to pay this amount. My mum told him it was a scam, but he only is old and frail, and, you know, he demanded that she go down and do it and wire the money. So
where do we start with this? We've all seen it. We've all experienced it before. Where do we start with this scamming business?
So the idea of today and the reason, I guess, for today's segment is that we're aware that these things happen, so that we know what's coming and we don't fall for them.
No.
And I just wanted to start off with some statistics. Now, these scams range. They're not just internet. I guess they're mostly over the internet, but they range from in-person and, you know, mail, email, you know, your phone, SMSs and all that. So I'll give you some statistics. So ScamWatch, for those who don't know, we've got a government agency called ScamWatch, and their website is scamwatch.gov.au. And you can report these scams, and also you can find out about these scams yourself. You know, the government does a really good job of collecting all this data and compiling it for us, and to better help us navigate these so-called scams or, you know, the contemporary issues of using internet. So in 2018, they reported a total of 100, so this is just within Australia, $107 million lost due to scams. Those scams were, you know, ranged across, as I said, a number of devices. So in 2019, and you'll see why I wanted to bring this to people's attention, in 2019, it jumped from 107 to 142.8, almost $143 million a year. That's not a small amount. And you see the difference there. It's almost $30 million in 1 year between 2018 and 2019. Then we get to 2020, the year of the situation. So it jumped up again from 140.
Situation, you're speaking about the corona.
The corona situation.
We're trying not to mention it. Yeah, we're trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from 170 to 143 million or 42 million to $175 million. This is in 2020. Yani, you're seeing almost a $30 million increase year on year. However, this year, we're only halfway through the year, and there's a total of 139 million dollars so far. We're only halfway through. Yeah, and we've almost doubled. We're almost going to double if we keep going at this rate. Last year's total, and the reason for that is people are at home.
No,
and as we said last
more
week,
online,
when people are at home, people feel safe. They're in between, inside their doors, and whatnot. But I just want to go further. So year on year for the past few years, the women have just been ahead in falling for these scams. However, this year, alhamdulillah, the men have taken the trophy of the most scammed, although not by much. Year on year, it's been about, 54, 53, 52% women and the rest men. This year, it's 49%. So it's almost 49% men and 48% women. The other percentage, I think it's for they take into account error. Allahu a'lam. And these scams, Abu Abdurrahman, are coming over a number of mediums. So there are different communication mediums.
Yes.
The first 54% of these scams are over on your phone, so SMSs, calls.
It's becoming more regular as well with the SMSs.
Yeah, definitely. And the phone calls that you've been receiving. How many government agencies have called you? They're from the federal government that want
to... Listen, I have a general rule. I know sometimes some people need to answer numbers they don't know. I don't answer any number I don't know.
Yeah, and that's probably the most safest.
If I need to answer from someone, I just save their number.
That's right.
If it's an agency that's calling me, you Google it.
Yeah.
And you see if it comes up as an official number, and then you go from there.
There are applications these days, although those applications also...
Probably themselves
are... They seem free, but they collect our data, and whether you want to use them or not is totally up to you. The next is if you look at the difference, so on your phone, you're getting 54% scams. 54% of these scams are coming on phones. The next one is text messages. It's at 18%.
18.
So you've got 54 and 18. So all the other half, and it just goes to show how much people are on their phones. The other half are going over all the other communication mediums. So then comes email, 14, and then internet, and then social networking. Now, that's sort of how these scams are coming about. And they're becoming more and more successful because these devices are in our hands more and more often.
Very, very careful, don't we? Especially now with kids having devices as well, clicking on stuff innocently. Allahu alam, it may lead them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in fact, there's a statistic for children being scammed. But I'll get to that in a little bit, inshallah.
That was my question later on, inshallah. Especially these free games. But as you've said many times before, nothing is free online.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing is free online. Totally. That's
Now, Brother Jamal, you sent me a message regarding a car app scam. I just want to ask you, what's that about? I didn't have time to go into details on it, but what is it about?
So these scammers are...
I'm just thinking like they're wrapping cars. What's going on?
Pretty much what's happening is there's like an advert, or you'll get an email, right? And saying, you're going to get paid for advertising for a company. And, we'll pay you. All you have to do is drive around your car and have this company's logo on your car. And people think, great.
So they're actually putting the logo on the car?
That's right. That's right.
Interesting.
So what they then do is they'll just bring my notes up. I wrote some notes on here.
Please do.
So they say, we want to employ you, and somebody clicks on a link, puts their information. They've got your information that can be used for other things now too. Then what they do is they send you a check. You get a check in your email so that you can quote unquote buy the wrap for the car because they'll be overseas and this is a promotional agency. So what happens is you go and deposit this check into the bank, this check can clear. So sometimes these checks actually clear, sometimes they don't. They appear as not available in your account. Mm. But then what would happen is you might get pushed to purchase these wraps. Of course, they'll have where you can purchase it from. Usually that's, you know, you pay these people via Western Union or you send these people gift cards and you know, they'll you can purchase it that way. And then what happens is when that's done, then a bank finds out about this check and this check being bogus, and then they take the money out of your bank. So that's but that can happen over a number of things. So that's just not car wrap. That could be, you know, anything. Somebody will say, look, can you do this for me? I'll send you a check. You're going to get paid for it. It might seem legitimate. If it's too good to be true, it is. That's generally that's the way it works.
That's a good rule.
Yeah.
That's generally a good rule.
There's if it's too good to be true, it's just too good to be true.
Now, subhanAllah, how people always find a way to scam.
Yeah, they're getting smarter. And as you can see from the numbers, every year it's increasing. This year, because everybody's at home and everyone feels safe, it just increases more and more. They get way, way smarter. Now, well, they're targeting grandparents. So what they do, and look, maybe for the people, for our audience, it might be different. And will, you know, but obviously for the, you know, as you can imagine that the Australian way of life, that the grandparents would be in a retirement area and, you know, not in the same street in Greenacre as our families are.
Yes.
But what would happen is these scammers would call or email, but usually call or SMS. So what they first do is they mine your data. So they find out who's related to you and they call up and say, hey, granddad, it's Jeff. Or it's, you
good
know,
Jeffrey.
It's Jeffrey. and you know, I'm in trouble. I need money for a lawyer. And so they say, can you wire me money? And the money's wired to them. In the business world, they actually had a similar scam that a lot of people fell for. It's called the CEO-CFO scam.
Yes.
So the chief executive officer, the boss of the big company, sends an email to the finance boss, chief finance officer, and says, I need you to pay this bill right now. And they give them a bill to pay and they wire the money. That was, I think, in 2018 or 2019, one of the highest making scams around in the world.
Ya Allah.
It's unbelievable.
Now, Jamal, what I've noticed as well is you're getting emails from the bigger companies.
Yeah. Like
Apple or Amazon, for example. These giant companies, these huge companies, Apple, Google.
Multinationals, yeah. Amazon.
And they tell you 1, 2, 3 to secure your account. Even locally, your banking, the tax office, for example, they tell you we never ask for money online.
Yeah, that's right. So Amazon scam is actually a really, really...
How do we know what's authentic and what's not? What's a good way of knowing?
So there's a number of ways. I'll tell you about the Amazon scam and the technical company scam. These work in similar ways. They all work in similar ways. So first of all, it could be that you get infected with a virus and they say, give us a call. You know, we're from Microsoft, and you call them up. They make out like they're helping you. They're not helping you. They log into your computer and they make you think that your computer has a virus on it. Or if it does, they make you think they're going to help you. Then what they do is they say, okay, can you pay me? Can you pay me some money? And we will... can you pay some money and we'll get it worked out. So then they transfer you somewhere else. You pay the money. You give them a credit card to pay the money. Then they say, oh, sorry, we've overcharged you. So then what they do is they log on to your bank and they make you log on to your bank, or they bring up a bank window and they say, they show you that either they've overpaid you by $200-$300, or they open up your bank account and they make, you know, they edit the code, the HTML code in the background, and make it look like they paid you $200-$300. And they say to you, oh, look, I'm going to get fired. If you don't, you know, help me out and send this to me, I'm going to lose my job. My family has no food, blah, blah, blah. And they make you send them gift cards or wire them money. Mm. The Amazon scam, they send you a message saying somebody's purchased an iPhone on your account. And you call up, you say, oh, no, I didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. And they say, okay, look, we're going to help you out. I'm going to transfer you over to the billing department and they'll get it sorted out. You give them your credentials. They log on. There's even your credit cards that could be on there. Again, they say to you, it's, you know, something's been purchased. We're going to refund the money. They might refund more money to you and then ask for that money back in gift cards or, you know, the American Express gift cards or credit card gift cards and stuff like that.
American Express, is that still around?
Sorry?
American Express still around?
I heard somebody say something on a YouTube clip once, so I think it might be still around, American Express.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
On another question there, Amazon. Now, I remember Amazon back in the day was only books. You buy books online. Is Amazon now all these Amazon, it's all one company? All these Amazon shopping?
Yeah. So Amazon's all one company.
They've
they're
got
different,
their TV
different,
now and they've got everything.
Yeah.
Is it the same company or different company?
It's exactly the same company. So it's the same company, but different branches, obviously.
And even the hosts, the servers, is that Amazon as well?
So Amazon Web Servers is that's...
They're the biggest in the world, aren't they?
I think they are. I think they are, actually. Between them and Microsoft, I think there's a massive share in that world.
Interesting. What else do we have, Jamal?
So while we're on big companies, look, and your question, how do we know?
Yes.
That's a big thing.
Look, junk mail, everything.
Yeah. So first of all, your phone, again, if it's too good to be true, it is. If you can call and pick up a phone and confirm with someone, do it. If you don't know the number, don't answer. Or if you're going to answer, don't fall for it. You know, be very, you know, be guarded with these things. They're essentially trying to take our money. If it's an email, you can look at the email and it would look like, so it could say it's from Amazon, but when you click into it, it'll say, it'll look weird. It'll look long, or maybe somebody else's email. Even if sometimes it might look legitimate, but again, you look at the email, sometimes the spelling would give it away. They'd be poor spellers like yours truly.
Jamal, I've got a bit of a challenge. I've got the email over here. The Al-Bayan email.
Yep.
We get smashed, for lack of a better term, with junk mail and scams.
Yeah.
I'm going to open one up and I'm going to run it past you. What do you think? A live experiment, if you like.
You're going to write a password?
No, I'm going to open up the email now, sure, and show you some of the ones we get.
Yeah, no problems.
You ready? That.
That's no issue.
Let's go.
But let while you're doing that, I'll speak to how we can we can reduce those emails coming in. And again, if anybody's got any questions, please feel free to message on any of our social media channels. We'll get your questions straight away.
Here we go.
And
I'm only going to mention what's appropriate as well. Some inappropriate ones here. Junk mail.
Inshallah.
Bismillah.
Inshallah.
All right. Let's see where we can start with. All right. I got good old. No. Okay, Twitter looks legit. Let's see. Holy Alice. SEO suggestions. Let's move on from there. Linda Jones. Yeah, that's just trying to.
So there'll be some.
Atlantic Financial. Here we go.
Yeah.
100% investment opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay, another one. Here we go. Here's one of those ones we spoke about before. Miss Anne Kolobali. Good dearest, I greet you in the name of God. I am Miss, she mentions her name, 23-year-old female from the Republic of Ivory Coast, West Africa. And then she mentions she's the daughter of her late father.
Yep.
And she starts with the rest of it. I'll mention the money only, 8.5 million in her bank there in Europe.
Yeah.
Okay, what does she want? I need your help transferring money into your bank account while I will relocate to your country and settle down with you. How nice is that? Settle down with you, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Here we go. She wants you to send her some money. That's got scam written all over it.
It's definitely. I mean, there's alarm bells everywhere. That's really good. And people fall for it. That's the thing. That there's people that actually fall for it. And people. This is on their computer. You know, that might be an email that they get. They feel lonely. They want to believe it.
The next one, I must give him credit. This one here, he's short and sweet. You should know by his name Warren Buffett. Picked you for $1.5 million donations. For more, reply. Straight away.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
reply. Look, what happens there if you reply, Jamal?
I think that's more believable. And yeah, Warren would be sending emails to people
just
saying,
like that, with nothing.
$1.5 million like, for you.
You don't have a link or something?
Yeah. So that would be, they would be collecting your information there. Okay. And again, what? You'd be amazed at how many people would be clicking that.
Okay. One more. And this is linked to the website. Let's see. Camilla Miller. I shouldn't mention the name in case they're real. Too late now. I don't think they're real. I came across your website and noticed a few errors that could be easily fixed that may be harming your rankings in Google. This we get a lot.
Yeah.
And there's no issue with the website.
So that may or may
something
not
something like this.
That may or may not be a scam. They could be asking after your details. However, they could also be advertising their business.
So they're asking, I would like to send you a quick video highlighting these and offering some tips for improvement.
Look, that could be legitimate, you know, but that's, you know, I mean, whether you take them up on
so
your
we may have
not.
To apologize to Camilla if it is legitimate, but I think
well,
it
you've
is.
Just given her a plug for a business. Yeah, people can search her and
don't please. Okay. Here, online unknown login attempt.
So that's probably somebody from your.
That's fake, Roger, man, 100%.
So that could be something that with what Camilla sent it as well.
There's more website issues. There's
so that's another thing. That's a phishing email. So there's
investment opportunities. There's one from Lara, Kieran. These are all basically, you know, asking for certain stuff.
Look, the scams actually fall into a few categories, right? Quite more commonly now, we're getting the coronavirus scams. So yes. Now there's anything to do with coronavirus, and they want your money. Don't pay.
Yep.
As simple as that. They claim to arrange, you know, COVID vaccinations for free. I don't know if people that aren't, you know, that are not residents in Australia, maybe they have to pay. But this is probably more for people from overseas. You know, they try to collect your information. They try to, you know, get your credit card details for a deposit or whatever. Investment scams. So, you know, invest with me and I'll give you more money, or this is, you know, I want your money and it'll triple within 3 days or something like that.
You know, Jamal, you sent me a video and I didn't have a chance to watch all of it, where in a certain country where they actually, they're running basically a scamming agency, but the other guy on the other end who they tried to scam was actually a computer expert, technology expert. We actually hacked them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What's that about?
If you can just give us a quick rundown. Last time I was on, his name was Jim Browning, and this guy is famous on the internet for hacking scammers and scam call centers. And as we're talking about these scams, the people that actually take, you know, go through with these scams and you know, solicit these scams and scam people. He hacks into their systems, and he does, like, it's really funny because what he does is he gathers as much information as possible, then he calls them and he's got the most calm voice in the world.
You wouldn't know.
And he gets their photo, for instance, and just puts it on his desktop background. So these people connect to his computer and they see their photo of them and their family on his computer. he absolutely drives them insane, and his goal is to you know, shut down these scam houses. And look, sometimes he does it. So we're talking about investment scams. There's pension scams,
yes.
Abu Abdurrahman. So people contact and say, you know what, you're going to get a pension now. This, again, is probably in the UK and the US. I'm not sure how their pension system works, but I don't think it's very relevant to us. Phone scams. So they say a fraudulent. They call you up and say there's a fraudulent payment that's on your phone, and you know, we want
to. Jamal, sometimes you get like there has been unauthorized access to your account. Call now to secure your account.
Yeah,
and then you type in whatever you may type in, and then you've given your account away.
That's exactly right.
This is something that we should be careful of, shouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely. So phishing. That's a phishing scam. So not FISH. PH. PHSY, PH.
I don't think there's a Y there.
It's PHISHING. So it starts with PH, and it's not the phishing, as in going fishing on the weekend. And they fish for your details.
You may get locked up if you do that now. No fishing, guys.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
It's fishing right. Exercise.
It's a sport, isn't it? No, fishing. No. It is a sport. But you got
to
travel.
We said we're
going
to try to avoid
Wiley Park is the closest
the pond there. Can you fish at the pond there?
Within 10 km, yeah, that pond.
You can't fish there, can you?
Sorry, I don't know. I've fallen in there once when I was younger.
Have you?
Yeah.
One of my kids.
I thought everybody.
One of my kids fell in there as well. What's the go there?
Still happening.
You can't fish there. Any joke, if you can't fish there. Guys, don't go fish there.
Don't go fish there.
Don't go fishing at all at the moment. Stay inside. Stay locked in.
So, yeah, they try to fish for your details, and that could be fishing via your phone, fishing via, you know, when they call you on your phone or SMSs or emails. There's the post and email scams. So they send you, you know, you've won the lottery or if you won a prize, call me, call this number or message this number to collect it. And that's when they'll say, look, you've just got to give us a fee to process your claim and we'll process it. Then there's the, you know, people that would come to your house and try to scam, strangers who say that they you need to use your phone for an emergency. They'll use your phone and put a bug on it or try to get some details off it. They could be charity collectors. People come up and saying, you know, I'm collecting for charity, you know, give me your details. Relationship scams, we've all heard of those where, but this is actually quite serious.
It's so, always in the news and the current affair, those programs. I was scammed out of my money because I sent such and such an amount to such and such a person. So sad.
You know,
alhamdulillah. You shouldn't be too gullible either. You've got to be careful.
You've got to be very, very careful. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Maybe a lot of Muslims would be safe from this. But a lot of people what they would do is they would encourage people, you know, this is also
the target of vulnerable
prevalent amongst
as well.
Kids. Yeah. Prevalent amongst kids as well. So what would happen is there'd be a conversation that would happen online. The person, the scammer would get this other person to do something, something that can be used against them, whatever it would be in whatever nature, and then they'd use it against them and say, look, if you don't do this, I'm going to release this information or photo or whatever to your family and friends on Facebook. If you don't pay me, I'm going to do this. That's you don't know how many times that happens. That's actually... that's probably, you know, up there with the top 10 scams of the last few years. Mm. You know, Facebook, you know, people jump on and they go on Facebook and they think that somebody's friended them, somebody wants a relationship, they want to talk to them. It could be friends, it could be family, it could be, you know, they think it's a friend or a family member, but it's not. New relationships online. That's what they take advantage of, or they try to take advantage of.
Interesting. Now, Jamal, I don't know if you want to touch upon it now. We know our kids are going online quite a bit. Gaming.
Yeah.
Apps. And with the apps, there's pop-ups, especially if it's a free app. Gaming, when they're chatting. And they may be vulnerable to certain scams. What's the best way of protecting our children from this? Never to give private information, maybe, to start off with?
Yeah, and look, we've talked about this before, and that you can never, I mean, this never gets old.
Especially during the Sydney lockdown, which is entering its third week, and most likely, we want to be positive, but we're just stating what is coming through that may extend. We seek Allah's protection and ask Him to alleviate and ease our affairs as quick as possible. We want to keep our kids safe. Now, from Monday, most of the school kids will be online.
That's right.
Accessing their education and that. We just want to, you know, a few tips that we can follow to prevent our kids from, you know, falling into these types of scams. There's other things as well, and we've addressed them before, but what about particular with scams here?
Look, it's very important to talk to your kids about scams because scammers are taking advantage of this situation. As I mentioned the numbers before, this year alone, we're almost at, you know, last year's complete total in terms of the record for scams. My money, I think it was $143 million so far, $139 million this year so far, and it's only half the year, whereas last year it was 175 for the whole year. So scammers are definitely taking advantage of people being in their home, people thinking they're safe inside their house. And I think we need to explain to our kids that every action they do on their computer needs to be for a reason. but also if they contacted online, if they contacted on the game, my advice would be don't talk to them if you don't know them. Full stop. Turn mic chat off. Turn your microphone, mute people. That's what we do at home as well. If we're going to, you know, engage in online, if there's a game online or something we want to play. But if you don't do that, and you know your kids are maybe older than that, have a talk to them.
What I found is quite dangerous now with this kind of stuff is that a lot of these apps or these games or, you know, even Google Play and Apple and all that, they're linked directly to your account.
Yeah.
So like PayPal, for example, if you use PayPal and other such apps, payment apps, the kid may, you know, do a few clicks, especially if you got the one click option with PayPal. You don't need to enter a password even. And as soon as you know, they've bought something they shouldn't buy, or, you know, in more relevant to our topic, they've been scammed out of a certain amount of money.
Yeah, my son, $300 on Roblox, the game, $300. I called them up and you know, Apple, I think it was, refunded me the first time. The second time they didn't. But you're very right. However, it was my fault, not my son's fault. Like, it's my fault because I put him in that situation and he was able to do it.
Can that be disabled?
It can be disabled. I didn't disable it at the time. I didn't think he would know how to do it, to be honest. All I saw was money coming out of the account. But, you know, look, I think that there's two sides to this. One is enable, disable. And, you know, can you enable it? Can you disable it? You can. On this program before, we've talked about how to disable these. And again, you can do it on Android phones in the Google Play Store. And go in and disable purchases and disable in-app purchases. And in iOS devices, it's in your face, in your screen time settings. So you can search screen time and you go in and you can fix that. And I urge every parent to jump on and do that almost straight away. The other side is education. The other side is teaching your kids. You know, our kids don't want to get scammed. You know, sometimes I have a talk to my kids and they want to do something and I say, look, you know, Dad, it sounds like it's a scam. You know, you don't want people to scam you. And they're like, no, I don't want people to scam me. But, you know, and they kind of understand that. But you also need to make sure that the kids are educated, that while they're learning online, they only do their intended task. If they're branching off into searching other things, if they don't know how to do that safely, to call you, to tell them, look, there's dangers on the internet. Let me know before you search. I also urge parents to make sure they've got devices in place for safe search, and they also pick up on scams as well, and even you can attach them to your email. But you know, there's applications like NetNanny and I think Norton's and McAfee, the guy we were talking about last time as well. They've got applications on there. They've got applications for that as well. But there's also devices now at your house. Now, devices at your house are different than applications that are on each device. So devices in your house only secure you within your home. And for some, that's okay. And that, you know, that suffices. So the devices that are for our house, we can get like, you know, Google Home, or you can get, you know, these smart routers, as they call it, or smart access points.
What does Google Home do, Jermaine?
Sorry, I mean Google Wi-Fi, not Google Home. I meant
Google Wi-Fi.
So Google Wi-Fi is a smart Wi-Fi system. So, for instance, we've got Google Wi-Fi at home, and I only got that because I can categorize each device in my house. So every device, I put them in a child group or an adult group. You know, and the reason why I've got the difference in groups is that the child group has a bedtime, because sometimes kids will wake up and, you know, you want them to come to you when they wake up. You don't want them to get on their device.
Yes.
And the adults group just has a later time. And then you've got a guest network. So if you've got guests that come over your house, you can give them that, you know, that Wi-Fi. But you can also restrict certain types of pages. You can restrict different types of scenarios. So you can say social media, disable. Or you can say disable gaming. And, you know, there's a, you know, disable chat, for instance.
Can you disable Google on Google Wi-Fi?
You probably can. You can disable Google.com, but that would be actually a good test.
What do you think? Yeah, let us know how you go.
Definitely, I'll bring it out. I'll bring it back next time. I'll let you know.
We need to have a nice discussion about Google itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Google, the big company. They, you know, Google and Facebook, pretty much, you know, you can't touch them.
Yeah. All good things come to an end, Jamal, as they say.
That's right. Look at you know, all the companies in the past. Look at Nokia. Remember Nokia? If I told you back in the day, yesterday we were talking about the lipstick phone.
They're still around, aren't they?
They're still around.
The lipstick phone, Nokia, in some way.
Nokia is around, not as they used to be, but, you know, like, talk about giants that just failed to change with times. Who knows what the future holds?
My why I mentioned that is the amount of corruption and falsehood that some of these massive companies spread.
Yeah, yeah.
And how they prevent good and spread evil, or they spread certain propaganda and certain agendas while they keep quiet, or they suppress praiseworthy projects and initiatives. And this is another topic for another time. Moving on, Jamal, what else do we have regarding this important topic?
So, you know, we talked about identification. I guess there's a few points to identification. One is, if it's too good to be true, you know, it is too good to be true. The next is, look for...
Why have you there on ID? Okay.
Sorry?
Why have you there on ID, identification? The way we log into our phones has changed over the years.
Yeah.
What's safe and what should we keep away from? You know, I remember one, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, about not using your fingerprints or your eyes, eye recognition, whatever they call it now, face recognition, to access your phone, because the company stores it. Your device, wherever it may be, stores it, or Google stores it, or whatever it may be, and that's not good. How do we understand this?
This is actually a very big topic around the business world at the moment.
Privacy?
In terms of your biometric, it's biometric security.
That's the proper
term I was
looking
for. Your privacy and whatnot. So there's actually a case, I believe it was here in Australia or in the US. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was local, where a company wanted to move to from a card system to bundy on, to clock on for their work. Used to be a punch card that you would insert into a clock, to a biometric. So they go and they scan their eyes. And so this guy said, look, I'm not giving you my biometric data, it's mine. And they said, well, this is the system we're moving to. If you don't adhere to our policies and procedures, then your employment will be terminated. That employer terminated this employee's employment. He then took them to court, and the court ruled in his favor, saying that, you know, actually your biometric data is your own. You don't, it can't be a thing that you can't have to agree to give it for you to work at a place, you know, so they can't demand that from you. So biometric data is being recognized more and more as your own personal data and something very personal and something that we need to hold on to. Back to your question as to, you know, we're giving this data away. Yes, you are. But let me take you a step further now. Not just that. There's new technology that's actually been developed in the last few months and is starting to be used. In the world now that we live in, with Zoom calls you know, online meetings and stuff like that, there's a big issue with data. And while in Australia we've got the National Broken Network, I mean the Broadband...
ABN.
The National Broadband Network.
Is it broken, huh?
Yeah, the National Broadband Network.
We'll get back to that
network.
Later.
You know, other countries don't have these kind of faster, these internet, this speeds. I mean, most do around the world, most developed countries. But what they've actually done is a technology that maps your face. So they put an algorithm in place that says, I'm going to collect four or five different sections of Abdul Abdurrahman's face. And then on the other end, only with those sections, you know, minimal data, I'm going to be able to recreate his face through AI.
Mm.
And they're able to do that.
But can they do that now? We're on camera now.
Yeah.
You're on camera
definitely.
There.
Definitely. I mean, you can put filters, right? And people use Snapchat filters or anything's got filters now. Like when you go on Zoom, you can do background filter. And they're the same for the face. People impersonated Barack Obama.
Yes.
And that's more and
wasn't
more.
Wasn't there some video about, what's his name? Tom Cruise?
I didn't
see that. Sorry to mention his name, but there was some video that someone impersonated him and it was so real in a video.
Yeah, yeah, that's very right. That's very right. It's doable. It's very much doable. And these technologies are more and more available now. They're more and more mainstream. And going, you know, tying it back into our own, you know, our topic, could you imagine receiving a video message from Abu Abdurrahman? You know, Jamal, I want you to come now and buy, you know, 20. Not that he would do that, and what would alert me to its falses. Abu Abdurrahman wouldn't do that. You know, get me some gift cards and you know, mail it to me in California. You know, or in
California.
Yeah, you're not in California, or in India somewhere. And look, I guess we're talking about your biometric data. Our biometric data is our own. Yes, where we give data, where we input data. And this again is another point. Wherever you input data, be very, very cautious. It's like your PIN number. You're entering it into a ATM. If we're online, we're putting out our details. Be careful what you put in. I mean, I grew up in a time where we never used our real name online. That was the rule. You just didn't use it. Now everybody does with, you know, Facebook login and Google login and. You know, Apple Pay, Apple login.
You pretty much have to now.
Yeah, it's pretty much required, and it could be used as an authentication method. And
how secure is that? Two factor.
Yeah, look, it's pretty secure. It's very secure. Wherever you can, we should be putting two factor authentication.
And that is when they actually send you a message to your phone, and you have a PIN number, and you.
Yeah, so there's a number of ways they can either have an app on your phone or a PIN number on your phone. Send you an SMS. I think, you know, Service New South Wales do it.
So that should be used?
It should be used, as annoying as it is sometimes. It should be.
MyGov uses that as well.
Sorry?
MyGov uses that as well.
Yeah, MyGov uses that as well.
And that covers Centrelink, that covers Medicare, that covers ATO. Service New South Wales. Yeah, pretty much everything, yeah.
Yeah, all of them. Wherever you can, enable it. I mean, I'll get accounts that message me. I get an email saying, did you log in? If you did, this is the code for you to log in. And if they don't have that code, they can't log in.
Gmail does that all the time as well.
Yeah, that's
pretty
right.
Good with that.
That's right. Look, and a lot of these things, if you have put in your details, so if anybody's listening or anybody that may listen has put in their details into these scam websites or given details over the phone, change your details. So change your passwords. Yeah. Change what, you know, if you've given a password out, go in and change every single password, every single time you've used that password, change it for your account. These days, Apple and I think Android will tell you, if you've got an Apple account, they'll tell you, look, this password you're using because it remembers your password at certain, you know, you allow them to remember your passwords, it'll say this has been leaked. And if there's a data leak that's happened, they collect that data and they tell you, you know, you need to change these passwords.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. It's actually got it for most of my accounts. You know, when I first switched back to Apple,
I've run out of ideas for passwords. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Look, I've got a good one. You know, name your kids. Give your kids long names, so at least 8 characters, so you can use that as a password. It always works.
But is it true that those who hack you are those that know you?
Yes and no. It could be, but these days it's not. These days, these scammers they run a script. They get phone numbers. They just call. You know, there was a scam that I dealt with at a place that I worked, or I was told about the place that I worked. Where a guy got contacted by the federal police. Why would you get contacted by federal police? He received an email, give me your details. So, think about it. Why am I going to get contacted by the federal police?
What I mean is those that are maybe not close relatives or close friends, but linked to your friends, for example, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they could try to guess your password, so that it could be those people. It could be, you know, if you know people that know people that are scammers, and
that
again,
know people.
If that know people. So if someone's got a Facebook friend that has, you know, another Facebook friend that has Abu Abdurrahman, and Abu Abdurrahman is you know, he's got a big footprint online, and you can tell who his family members are.
Which I don't anyway.
Not that he does, you know. May Allah,
I don't. Yeah.
May Allah protect Abu Abdurrahman and the Muslims. But you know, they can tell who's related to you, and then they can say, "Hey, look, this is, you know, Abdurrahman. Can you, you know, can you wire me some money, for instance? I need some money." And that's what they can do: collect information to start using that against you. And you see that in the business world quite a bit, actually. They go on the websites, they find out who the CEO is and the CFO is and who the IT people are, and they message saying, you know, this person said this, so can you, you know, wire me some money.
Now, Brother Jamal, what else do we have? We're running out of time. Do you have anything else you'd like to finish off with? And what I'd like to finish off with today is read some messages online. What do you think? From some of our du'a and mashayikh, I've been wanting to introduce this segment for a while to bring some of our sheikhs, du'aats, and brothers who are involved in the da'wah, bring up some of their reminders to finish off the program with, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Do you have anything else, Brother Jamal?
Just last thing is the point that we touched on, we should have mentioned on, you know, our kids, educate them. Make sure that we educate them. We are in lockdown, and I notice from my, I'm very conscious of my kids being online too much, but they're online too much. Like it's a given. It's going to happen. Just educate them on these things. Have a word to your kids. Have a word to them and say, look, there's scammers out there. Be very, very careful. Kids are very trusting, and they, you know, somebody can call them and say, you know what, your father said this, or I know this person, or someone could message them online and say, you know, this family member, because they might have got that those details by phishing. So just make sure that they know about putting their details in online. They don't put their details in online. If they need to check for something, check with their parents. If family, if anyone falls in trouble and needs help, feel free to message the ASWJ Australia website, and we'll do our best to put you in the right direction.
Or email us, info@albayan.com.au. Once again, info@albayan.com.au, and inshallah we'll forward your message to Jamal. Barakallahu feekum. I'd like to finish off with reading some messages from our dear du'a and mashayikh online. Sheikh Muhammad Dua, regular guest on Albayan Live, Thursday nights. He says, when our standards for dunya are higher than our standards for deen, we're in a bad state. Standards for dunya, he mentions, clothes must be designer, cars must be prestige, job must be good pay, bank account must be full. Standards for deen, prayer, barely 5 times a day and no sunnah prayers. Quran memorization, a few short surahs without tajweed. Islamic clothing, barely meeting the conditions. Seeking knowledge, listens to a lecture every now and then. Masjid attendance, only on Fridays or a funeral. My dear brothers, taking from this, we must make our standards for deen higher than our standards for the dunya. Jazakallah khair, dear Sheikh. And one more today from our guest from last night, Sheikh Nasim. He has a good one.
He's always got good ones.
Yes. Let's see. Lockdown madness is continuing with his lockdown comments. He says, surely the government isn't silly enough not to see the impact lockdowns have on that which is an even more dangerous than coronavirus. People are contemplating suicide, becoming addicted to both prescription and illicit drugs. Domestic violence and divorce is rising. Mental illness is spiraling out of control. Kids are losing their brains from boredom or their brain cells from too much time on devices. Older parents and grandparents are worried and living in grief, further causing deterioration to their already weak selves. People who have no social network besides their place of worship or social gathering are at the lowest they've ever been in their life, and so much more. What's the plan? Where's the clarity? What are we waiting for? I don't say COVID doesn't exist, nor that it doesn't affect those that are extremely vulnerable, like any other risk, but the harms of locking people in their homes and having half the police force checking people's Kmart bags is doing more real damage. People will get sick. People will pass away. That's not a nice thing to picture, but it's a reality we need to face to save ourselves worse problems. When alcohol and tobacco are readily available, costing billions and billions of dollars a year to the health system and causing thousands and thousands of deaths, please don't tell me the government only has our best interest at heart. If some of the poorest countries in the world are dealing with COVID running rampant, I'm sure one of the wealthiest countries in with a much smaller and extremely healthier population than theirs will be okay, inshallah. There's no need to be reckless, but there's also no need to be dictatorial. Before we know it, we'll have warships coming down the Georges River. Good old Georges River there.
Good old Georges River.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh Nasim, and many people are sharing the same sentiments that Sheikh Nasim is. We ask Allah to save us and protect us and alleviate us from the situation we're in. I'd like to remind our brothers and sisters that from tomorrow, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in Sydney, it'll be on radio, it'll be a 107.9 FM in Sydney, Australia. For those out of Sydney, they can listen to Al Bayan on their apps and also Wi-Fi devices for those who have them. And also on TuneIn and also albayan.com.au. And also the Wi-Fi radios, inshallah, in the next few days, they'll be available once again for you to purchase. It's the ideal Eid gift. What do you reckon, Jamal?
It definitely
good
is.
Good Eid gift?
Definitely is. It's a really good Eid gift. And imagine the rewards, the best 10 days coming up.
Yes. Well, we're in the 10 days, Jamal.
And yeah, that's right. They're here. Gifting a radio, you might get reward upon reward and people listen and benefit.
Inshallah. And Brother Jamal mentioned, as we announced at the start of the program, my dear brothers and sisters, we have entered the blessed days of the Hijjah. Do a lot of good. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continue to worship Him in the best manner and make the best out of your situation, even if you cannot leave your home. Make the best out of it. Pray your five prayers on time, pray your sunan prayers, read Quran, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and connect with those who may need you, and especially those in your household. I'd like to thank Brother Jamal once again for being with us tonight, and inshallah he'll be with us once again in the upcoming days, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And also I'd like to thank our team, and also those who are watching online and who are listening as well. Barakallahu feekum, and until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.